that school, put the trophies back in the trophy case.
Okay, welcome back for the administrative portion of our agenda, December 7th, 2011. We have a number of items on consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving to B1. Consideration of information not presented at the NSP electric rate increase hearing. Case numbers are listed. Patrick.
Oh, I guess the bottom line question is whether the commission wants to consider any or all of this information in the rate case proceedings. And if so, that we'd have to issue then a notice of intent to consider the information.
Yeah.
It's a hard question to answer without indicting ourselves in a way. I mean,
it is. Because you've got a settlement in front of you. Yeah. And I mean, these are the types of issues we talked about in the course of the settlement discussion. So on one hand, it would seem a little odd not to include further information.
Well, I would like to have it included if we can. I mean, I don't know that that... What if the settlement...
On the other hand, the timing is a little awkward. You've got the settlement that you're dealing with, and this happens. So I guess I'm fine with including it, I guess.
I guess we'll have to.
The timing is just all odd.
Could we delay including it till we make a decision in the settlement agreement if we do not, or does it...
At that point, it'd be moot.
Yeah.
I mean, I...
Well, let me... It may be moot, it may not be moot, depending on the outcome of the settlement.
That's, I guess, what I was thinking. If
right. If the settlement's approved, it's moot.
If it's not, then...
If it's not approved, then it's still...
Let me ask...
Relevant, you. But we'd have an extra hearing anyway where it could all be...
Well, that's right. Where... As you'll notice, one of the things I asked to put on scheduling down here.
Well, but let me ask about that, because...
Maybe we have a work session first.
That's what I'm thinking, probably. Yeah. And because if the parties were to come with a new settlement that included all of these things or whatever these things they like or whatever it might be, we have to issue notice, I presume, right?
Right.
Or was this stuff? My question were these issues thoroughly enough discussed during the hearing? If not specifically, certainly generally. I mean, it's not these. That they could already be considered heard. That, you know what I'm saying?
I think your point about a work session, because there's also some paperwork that came across from Dave Cedarquist yesterday that I wasn't sure where that fits into anything.
Well, I know. Because
he was telling us things that dealt with the settlement agreement and
potentially dealt with. It was funny, that's where when he put that line in, I thought, oh. Where does that get filed?
That's what I thought. A work session?
Yeah, I think a work session is the right way to go. Should we move it to scheduling?
Sure.
Okay. We don't need to make a decision on this
good
today.
Idea. No, and that's right. That's the way to do it. But, obviously,
They're playing.
Listening, yeah. That's important.
Okay.
So thanks, everybody, for that.
B2, this is the... aforementioned USDOT PHMSA Office of Pipeline Safety letter. A number of recommendations. Staff probably isn't prepared at this point to respond to it. I decided to put it on and forwarded this just because I wasn't certain if others had received this or not, or if I was it.
I don't.
It may just go to the chair and then to Bob. In any event, probably just need to figure out a plan going forward, which would be, I think, a staff-suggested response to it. Something that might be helpful for me, too, just out of curiosity, is we must have passed letters similar to the... Well, we do. I might like to look at the last one or two to just see what's new and what's changed. Some are oftentimes carryover suggestions, mm-hmm. but that'd be helpful for me. So maybe direct staff to have a... suggested response
sure.
prepared for us yep. and include in it past audits.
We're already working on a staff response that okay. for you to review, and I can find the letters that were sent in the past.
Okay.
Provide copies.
Are you going to put in there that the commission's considering forwarding legislation that would where our civil penalties would mirror the
federal government's $100,000 limit to up to $1 million.
That might be it. Yeah, that's a question for the commission.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right, well, I guess I could ask. Are we going to put that in there?
I don't know that I feel. I'm not ready, I guess. I mean, that's a. Could you imagine? I don't know. I guess you could throw it out there and see what they do.
Well, it'd be interesting to see exactly what the federal language is.
Yeah.
You know, is it for any violation, it's minimum of, you know, 100 to up to a million, or is it just for certain very high consequence, you know, HCA type?
I'll copy violations. That as well.
Yeah. I mean, so it, who knows? You know, if the language of the federal statute is such where, yeah, I mean, this is really, really serious stuff, yeah, maybe a really high penalty is appropriate and we ought to be forwarding it. At the very least, we can say, mm-hmm, you know, this was encouraged by us, by our federal program, and we're offering it for your consideration, legislature. Okay. December 12th, Summit Minot Operations and Assistance for Flood Impact Customers. Scott.
Mark Nisbet called yesterday just wondering if we were going to participate in this summit on the 12th in Minot from 9 to noon. Just to speak to the companies and the city of Minot, FEMA officials about flood-impacted customers through the winter.
I think we should have someone there.
Well, I was thinking about... That was, yeah, who, for sure, someone, and I was maybe even going to wander up there. But if there was two of us, and I don't know if we'd have to notice that, or if that does one of those things, we don't make any decisions.
If you want to go up, I'm happy to have you go. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd be happy.
Well, thank you.
You just need to have one of us there.
Yeah, I think that's, if one of us can be there, it's great. If not,
well, the only thing we have Monday is the director's meeting, and so I'd be happy to go up there. What time does it start at?
It was a tough call between the two.
Well,
it starts at 9. He informed me yesterday. It starts at 9 and goes until noon.
That's easy to make then. Okay. Yes, I'd be happy. But I think you should come along if you got time, Mr. Shelton, since the questions will be coming your way.
I'd be happy to check my schedule.
All right, thank you.
I'll speak to Mark to make sure that he knows you're coming.
All right.
Oh, you are funny.
Would that be okay if I missed the director's meeting with you, Scott?
Yes.
Okay, and B4. This is one that I added yesterday. Doesn't have any paperwork in relation to it, but I thought it made some sense in relation to a conversation that I recently had with the accounting staff. Since we have some winter travel that's coming up, NARUC meetings, so on and so forth, they are in the process of drafting a policy on P-card use with regard to travel and purchase airline tickets, so on and so forth, but it's not going to be ready for a while. So the question is, should we have commission direction towards staff in the interim before we promulgate the policy, which I think makes some sense, with regard to P-card use for travel? I think in general it's probably been the practice that's been going on the P-card every now and then.
What's the issue?
Well, every now and then an employee will put it on their own personal card and then seek reimbursement for it from the state. That apparently that was an audit finding in our last audit where it's becoming frowned upon as a, I mean, Josh, you can step up to a mic and sort of fill it. It's becoming frowned upon from OMB to have that practice. It also can cause some issues, you know, where if you have a canceled ticket or an employee can't make the travel and then you have to reimburse. I mean, it can get messy. So, Josh, I don't know if you want to update us on the audit thing, but I thought since this rule isn't going to be, or policy isn't going to be promulgated for a while, if there's perhaps just direction from the commission,
well, I think
at this admin, say, use a
P-card.
Okay.
It is an informal recommendation at this point to increase our usage of the P-card. OMB is relaxing their policies and expanding the capabilities of it. In my opinion, I think in the future this will become more of an issue, and putting as much on the P-card as possible.
But is there any reason that you wouldn't do it this way? I mean, if a Friday afternoon flight popped up that somebody had to be at, and nobody with staff was available is about the only circumstance that I could see that
could happen, but
possible. Again, we're still in the kind of the planning phases of some of these policies. We don't want to limit that possibility, but if it's a pre-planned trip and we know weeks or months in advance, I would like to see it go on a P card.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, so we can. It doesn't require a vote, but it would just be direction to staff that from here on out, when booking travel. Now, I should ask: is this more than just a travel issue, or is that the only time it sort of comes up? Are there other issues where we're reimbursing employees for things that would otherwise go on a P card? That I mean, every now and then we've got weights and measures inspector, whatever that there has to go out and they got to buy a washer or something. And
that does happen where we do reimburse it. I know JP used to do most of those purchases. He was a P card holder.
Okay.
We have not corrected that situation to identify somebody else yet. So we are processing things on vouchers, but that's...
Those are a little less pre-planned, though. That's
kind of pre-planned. If we know it's coming, it'd be. I would like to see it on a P-card. I know that Jim does have situations where I think OSM purchases it for us, so that of course, wouldn't be an issue. But
right. We're really talking about if there's eventually going to be state reimbursement asked, then it needs to go on the P-card.
Yeah, I don't see any problem there.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Brings us to scheduling, unless there's anything else that we need to discuss. No? Okay. C1, NSP rate case.
Well, I maybe
that's
talk
maybe that's the work session.
Yeah, well, I guess... could be.
Very prescient.
But the what I was thinking about is that obviously we're in the middle of settlement discussions and work sessions and all that, but given the complexity of the three of our schedule, is it appropriate to set a rate case hearing in the future so we have dates?
Just in case?
Just in case, because if we go through this thing and it works out, then that's one thing. If it doesn't, then we reset the clock for some period of time.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'd say is, at that point you're dealing with a lot of people's schedule, including probably consultants and folks like that. That we may not have a great.
I just brought. I
mean, we might need to get some input from them. It might have to be sort of an iterative process, but I don't think it may make some sense if.
Well, maybe to get a sense, we're going to do the work session, and that's one of the things we could talk about in the work session.
It's a good point, though.
Because I personally would like
keep that on the agenda. That's a good point.
I think that we should have something scheduled in. I don't know. June, July, August, September as a placeholder for this case.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. At work session, that'd be a good time to just work
talk about
it.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we go ahead and schedule
the work session will give us some indication of the likelihood of that.
I would think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and schedule a work session right now then.
There you go.
What day is today? December 7th.
Open to ideas.
What do we have to prepare for the work session? Pat, and when does Alana get back? Like
in January.
February?
January.
There really is no new information because we're not considering things that have been filed since our last work session. So.
What is the next week? What? 13th? Afternoon of the 14th.
Get the lunch in. How about the 16th?
That's fine.
I got nothing going the 16th.
It's good for me.
Okay. 10 a.m.?
Sure.
Very good. 2012 quarterly meetings with the Lignite Council. Jim.
Yes, the dates requested by the Lignite Council are March 6th.
Yep.
Okay.
June 5th.
Okay.
Yep.
September 11th.
Sure.
Big day. June
and 5th. December 11th.
Okay.
All fine.
Yeah, at this point.
I've got a list of locations, Daryl, that'll get you. They vary from meeting to meeting for a while there. So.
Oh, wow.
One at the Kelly Inn, one at the Ramada, then two at the Doublewood. So.
Wow. Very confusing.
The Ramada, did you say?
At the, or, excuse me, Grand Coda.
Oh. Wow. Really stretching out there.
Mid-Continent Communications petition for arbitration, Missouri Valley Communication motion to dismiss, PU 11-153. Mark.
Morning. As you're well aware, or may be aware, there's a petition for arbitration concerning a disagreement between Mid-Continent and Missouri Valley concerning the 96 Telecom Act. We're in the process of appointing an arbitrator. Pat and I had a phone conversation with all the stakeholders this morning. In that regard, Missouri Valley did something I guess we're not completely used to, is what they filed a motion for summary judgment, and we're staff here and the companies, again, we discussed it about trying to get our head wrapped around exactly how to proceed in that regard, because it's not necessarily included in the act. Essentially what's been agreed upon is that we're going to treat it as essentially as a complaint and notice it accordingly. So as you indicated, it's under scheduling. If that's appropriate to you, what I'm looking for is they're looking at probably an hour complete. It'll be just both councils. They asked for oral argument, so it's going to be a normal hearing.
Will it have a separate case number? Is it going to be a complaint within the?
I think it would probably have the same case number. However, I think in particular, I don't think we'll need an ALJ. I think it's essentially going to be both counsel just arguing and then taken under advisement. And then I guess whomever from staff and myself or Alana will essentially write a memorandum. They're looking at about an hour. So I'm looking, again, as before I indicated, we're going to notice it as if it was a complaint. So we're looking at 45 days. So I'm looking for something in your schedule for early February.
Why don't we do the informal on January 4th? That's a commission meeting day. Do you have something else for that day?
It's got to be 45 days.
Because it's a formal complaint.
Of course it is.
And you've got...
Okay.
And that's, I mean, it's just something that's kind of ad hoc. I'm not exactly sure, because, again, it's not something we've normally done. So
sure.
Looking at it from a conservative standpoint.
That's fine.
One thing I should indicate is that under the federal act, as I indicated before, we're going through the normal arbitration process. They'll go through the arbitrator, and then it'll essentially, my understanding, will be binding arbitration. The commission has to make a determination by March 14th, 2012, from the 9 months right around there. So it's something to keep in mind as well, as far as one of the things that we had discussed this morning is...
So the arbitration would move forward at the same time the complaint's being
heard. 100%, exactly. Okay. This is a dispositive motion. So potentially, if you ruled that essentially the motion is whether or not to proceed with arbitration, if you ruled against it, then it wouldn't need for the arbitration. But we're looking at it as hopefully...
But that can be appealed, too.
Concurrently, exactly. So we're looking at at least a concurrent determination by at least that March 14th date, so... I'm thinking February should be appropriate.
How does February 10th look?
Wide open. That's after an ARUC, right?
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, the only thing that's going, ARUC technically ends the 8th. There's that electricity delivery forum on the 9th. But I think folks will be back the 9th. So. The 9th and 9th, anybody who...
Yeah.
10th?
That's fine.
Okay.
What time? 10 at 10?
10.
Okay. Is there a way that time frame can be extended, the March 14th deadline? Just like a rate case is supposed to take 7 months, but we end up taking longer.
You know, is whether or not the potentiality if we don't make that March 14th date.
But is there a mechanism, or what is the mechanism that could be extended out?
I'm not sure if there is one path. Kind of
The timeline is in the federal act. And so there really isn't a way it can be extended. However, if they're still in arbitration and they don't take it to the FCC, the FCC would not take over the proceeding at the end of the time frame. That's what happens if the state doesn't act in the time frame.
And it goes to the FCC.
And it goes to the FCC.
But okay, so there is a sequence of events, though, that lays out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the FCC takes 500 days as opposed to...
Yeah, exactly. But I guess that's the mechanism, that if it's not done by that date, there.
There's a potential.
The building's not going to fall down.
Could take it to the. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Looks like we've got that taken care of. Anything else for the good of the order? Jerry, you got anything for us?
Don't tempt fate.
Damon, Christmas. Are you new to the commission?
How about a net? Do you have any value added?
All right.
Thank you for coming on.
Very good. Thanks, everyone. This will close the meeting.